will please stand for the Right Honourable Lord Mayor Basil Zemplis.
Thank you, everybody. Can I formally declare the special council meeting for the City of Perth open at 4:03 p.m. I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land upon which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to elders past and present. It is indeed a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. CEO, can I ask you please to recite the prayer?
Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Michelle. Please be seated, everybody. So we'll just go through the attendance. And those with us today are the Deputy Lord Mayor Sandy Angie, Councillor Di Bain, Councillor Clyde Bevan, Councillor Brent Fleeton, Councillor Liam Gobbett, Councillor Rebecca Gordon and Councillor Catherine Leeser. Also in attendance, the Chief Executive Officer, the Acting General Manager of Community Development, the General Manager of Corporate Services, the General Manager of Infrastructure and Operations, Acting General Manager of Planning and Economic Development, Project Director, Strategic Finance, the Acting Alliance Manager, Executive Services, the Acting Alliance Manager, Governance, who seems to have changed sides, the Governance Coordinator, and the Governance Officer. CEO, do we have any apologies?
No, Lord Mayor.
Item 3.2 is leave of absence. Councillor Coe is on an approved leave of absence from July 6, 2021, until July 2021 inclusive. Item 4, public participation, and 4.1 is public question time. So public question. CEO, do we have any?
No, Lord Mayor.
Okay, what a shame. Thank you, CEO. Are there any other public questions from the floor? Item 5.2 is deputation. CEO, any deputations?
No, Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Item 6 on the agenda is disclosures of interest. CEO, have any disclosures been received?
Yes, Lord Mayor. The interest disclosure will be available in full in the meeting minutes. In summary, those received are Councillor Fleeton, who has disclosed 2 impartiality interests in relation to item 6.2, direct financial interest from the Lord Mayor, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillors Bevan, Gobbett, Gordon and Leeser in relation to item 6.2, and direct financial interest from Councillor Gordon in relation to 6.1.7 of the Officer Recommendation Heritage Rates Concession.
Yeah. Councillor Bain, was there something that you wished to bring to our attention?
In terms of conflicts?
Yes.
Well, I believe I have an indirect financial interest on item 6.2 and I won't be making a decision today, so I need to leave the room.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Bain. Done. Share your pain.
Not on my list.
Item number 6 is reports, the adoption of the 2021-2022 budget. And we have had that announced, have we not? So Councillor Gordon has disclosed a financial interest in relation to point 7 of the officer recommendation pertaining to the heritage rates concession and will accordingly depart the chamber for this point of the recommendation. Now I'm going to propose that this point of the recommendation be dealt with first and the balance of the officer recommendations be dealt with upon Councillor Gordon's return. Councillor Gordon, if you'd be so good as to leave the room, thank you very much. And with that, could I ask if anyone would like to move a motion to deal with point 7 of the officer's recommendation? Thank you, Councillor Bevan. Do we have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Councillor Bevan, anything you'd like to say? Councillor Gobbett, anybody else wish to comment? We'll ask then for a vote on that. All those in favour? And we'll declare that carried unanimously. Gordon. Welcome back, Councillor Gordon. We'll now deal with the balance of the officers' recommendations. Do I have a mover? Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Seconder, thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Yeah. And I would now like to move an amendment to point 10 of the officers' recommendations as follows. That point 10 of the officers' recommendation be amended by adding the following wording. 10. Adopts the schedule of fees and charges 2021-22 as detailed in attachment 6.1A in brackets 2, subject to there being no change to parking related fees and charges. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. And my reasons are as follows. The elected members and City of Perth want to ensure that ratepayers will not be financially impacted negatively by the 2021-22 City of Perth budget. In deciding to not increase rates for the 2021-22 financial year, the City of Perth has sent a message to its 21,000 ratepayers that we understand the impact of COVID-19 that it's had on your lives and businesses in the last 18 months. And we understand many people have been impacted financially. We also understand many business owners, large and small, have been impacted. In looking after the best interests of our ratepayers, the City of Perth Council has an obligation to ensure that our city remains active, vibrant and welcoming. It is a key priority to activate our city. It has been well documented that city retailers are under constant pressure from suburban shopping centres. And adding to the burden of the city and our businesses is the state government decision to increase the Perth parking levy by 1.75% in 2021-2022. That 1.75% increase is a financial hit for every business which operates in the City of Perth, both large and small, and for that matter, in between. They will now pay $1,189 per parking bay. For every dollar the city charges people for parking, 29 cents now goes to the state government. That's why I have written on behalf of the City of Perth and this council to the Office of the Auditor General requesting an audit of the Perth Parking Fund. Since 1999-2000, the increases in the Perth parking levy have been significant. We know in July 2020 there was already a balance of $95.5 million in the Perth Parking Fund, but it is unclear where that money is being spent, and for this reason we are asking for an audit. I move this motion to ensure that there are no increases in parking fees and charges in 2021-22 to support our ratepayers, our retailers, all of our stakeholders and visitors to the City of Perth. Seconder was the Deputy Lord Mayor.
Apologies, I don't know if it's possible. Can I propose an amendment to the Lord Mayor's amendment that there be no increase? Because I note that in the current schedule provided, there's some fees have gone down. So if we've already said they go down, leave them as going down. So just putting that.
What's that mean? If I could invite the Project Director Strategic Finance to comment.
Thank you. Sorry. Thank you very much, through the Chair. That's a very good pick-up. Deputy Lord Mayor, there were some fees that were decreased, and it might be prudent to get clarification from the Lord Mayor, but I would imagine that his intent would not be to bring those back up.
Mm. Is there a feeling that this may be interpreted in that way?
Unintended consequence, yes. So through to the project director, how would that be resolved then with some words that wouldn't have a consequence that was unintended?
No increases.
To say sorry through the Deputy Lord Mayor?
Thank you, through the Chair. If the amendment were to read increase versus not change, then that may achieve the desired outcome.
Yeah. Well, shall I just change it? Is that the easiest way to do that?
Yeah.
Good pick up.
Yeah. You happy with that, TLA? Yeah. Okay. So just. Yes. Okay. So that will now read adopts the schedule of fees and charges 2021-22 as detailed in the attachment 6.1A in brackets 2, subject to there being no increase to parking related fees and charges. Deputy Lord Mayor, yes, Councillor Gordon.
I'm just a bit lost on the intention of the amendment. I thought it was saying, and I was going to suggest that we change the ending subject to there being no increase to parking levies. Because if we're saying subject to, we're fully responsible for setting the parking fees and charges. We can't approve it subject to something that we're approving. It's circular referencing. Or subject to there being no increase in parking-related fees and charges payable by the city or incurred by the city.
Yeah, OK. So perhaps I can ask Governor, so seeking clarity for how we can indicate no increase to fees and charges, which shouldn't be that difficult, should it? Michael?
Thank you, through the Chair. I'm not quite convinced that we're not on two slightly different topics here. I believe the intent of the Lord Mayor's amendment was specifically in relation to the parking fees and charges that the city is capable of controlling. It was not a reference to the parking levy, which is a different issue. We're not capable of influencing that other than through lobbying, as the Lord Mayor has done.
Why is it subject to when we are setting the parking-related fees and charges in this item?
Michael?
Thank you, Council, for the clarification. The reason why it's worded in that way is because the schedule of fees and charges had been premised upon the fact that in a limited number of cases there was going to be an increase in the fees. So as the fees and charges stand in front of you now, there are some that do increase. The Lord Mayor is actually asking that this be adopted in such a way with direction to the administration to go back to any that had increased and revert them to their pre-increased position.
Subject to an amendment, like subject to the parking related fees and charges being amended such that there is no increase. Otherwise it's the approval being subject to, and it's just a bit confusing.
Well, I'm coming back your way for some further advice.
Otherwise, we're not adopting the schedule of fees and charges.
Okay, through the Chair, perhaps if we take the subject to condition or consider removing that and just makes it adopts the schedule of fees and charges for 21-22 as detailed in attachment 6.1A in brackets 2, with there being no increase in parking-related fees and charges.
But let's make sure that everybody understands this and is happy with it. So 10, adopts the schedule of fees and charges 2021-22 as detailed in attachment 6.1A in brackets 2 with there being no increase to parking related fees and charges. Okay, everybody seem happy there? Okay, so Deputy Lord Mayor, you're the seconder.
Just speaking on the amendment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you, Lord Mayor. Yeah, thank you for proposing that amendment. Parking continues to be a barrier for people coming to our city, so I think it's a good idea that we keep our fees in this regard on hold.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Did anybody wish to speak for the amendment? Okay, yes, Councillor Laser.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Do we know what the quantum of this change, now that you propose the amendment, do you know what it actually means in dollar terms?
To the CEO.
And to the Project Director, Strategic Finance.
Thank you very much. Through the Chair, in terms of a number that I can quote with confidence tonight in the meeting, probably not, but I would suggest that if Council were to progress with this in its current form, then the administration would go away, calculate what the anticipated impact might be in financial terms, and then come back to Council with that information and advice as to how that may be accommodated within the existing budget.
Follow up, Lord Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
So we had, as a council, we had already talked about some of the parking, specific parking places having their fees go up already. Has that already been enacted? And does this have to undo that?
So, yeah.
I'm going to hand to the Project Director, Strategic Finance, who can explain the subtlety.
Thank you, through the Chair. Two-part question, as I understand it, Councillor. The first, has it been enacted? No, in terms of the signage and the machines have not been changed. However, the schedule of fees and charges was premised on that occurring. So what this amendment would mean would be that we would revert those lines of the fees and charges schedule back to where it were if this amendment is carried.
Okay, Councillor Laser.
Follow up, Lord Mayor. So were you intending this to apply to all different types of parking in the city?
See ya.
Project Director, Strategic Finance.
Thank you very much, through the Chair. This was not where I expected my primary focus for the budget night, but I'll do the best I can. My understanding is there was essentially three different components. There were boom-gated car parks, was one that was proposed for a change. There was fire station car park, I believe, and the third grouping, as I understand it, was the concept of standardising the on-street hourly rates so they weren't at three differential levels.
Yes, and sorry, follow up, but Lord Mayor, was that the intention of your motion that all of those would be frozen as they are now?
That is the intention, yes.
Yeah. Albeit, just to be clear, I thought the with the fees and charges, there's on-street, off-street, and then the fire station car park. The fire station car park had a flat rate fee determined during COVID, but there was still a desire, so this motion wasn't intended to change that back to an hourly rate, which it was pre-COVID, and it is still lower than it was pre-COVID. It's just that particular car park, as I understand it, is quite an important car park for visitors to the hospital, so being at a standard flat rate all day means we're not getting that throughput. So if the motion isn't clear, that particular car park should move to a model which has an hourly rate charge, I think we might need to make an adjustment or for elected members to consider if and what the scope is. So I'm not certain how it currently reads, if that could be included or not. I might need to ask the Project Director, Strategic Finance.
Sorry, one final question, because it's the first time I've had this information, so I apologise. So the parking business is a major business undertaking. Doesn't this affect our ability to move that business as it's supposed to be moved in terms of fees and charges to do the right thing by the other competing businesses?
See ya.
I'm not really certain of the question in the sense that I suspect the motion...
Can I clarify? Sorry. So Councillor Gordon the other day told us that the parking around her was going up. So this is not City of Perth parking. This is some other type of parking that's gone up. So because it's a major business undertaking, we have to be competitive but not undercutting our competitors, is my understanding. How does this affect that? Because that could be problematic if we're suddenly undercutting all of our competitors because of this motion.
CEO?
I'm very tempted to hand over to the General Manager Infrastructure and Operations now. We're talking about the parking business. But could I suggest the way this motion appears to be drafted is it's talking about no increases. The point being, if I'm hearing you correctly, Lord Mayor, is that you're trying to activate the city through having competitive parking fees. More often than not, our parking charges are less than others. However, it is an issue, of course, where what we're seeing, and maybe the alternative is that the percentage of the parking levy, which has been now passed on from state government and will be passed on to us, is what is covered. I mean, this is something for deliberation, but maybe I could hand over to the General Manager, as I'm not certain I can comment on the parking business as well.
Well, it was a lovely try, CEO. Thank you.
Thank you for handballing that to me through the chair. This is a complex matter in the sense that whilst there are other car park plays in the city that are charging a little bit more and we're charging a little bit less, to the CEO's point, it means that our car parks in those areas where people want to park are always full, and we do not have an ability to provide access to people that want it. So if you look in East Perth, those car parks are generally full all day. And then if we take the fire station car park, which is an all-day rate at the moment, the idea of converting that to the daily rate is to allow access to parking in the city where people want to park and to give everybody a fair chance. So the longer we delay on making certain adjustments to our parking arrangements in terms of fees and charges, the more we become more advantageous to park at, because we're cheaper, which means that we can fill our car parks, but the ones that we want to fill are already full. So the idea of amending fees and charges is to try and get that demand for parking and capacity available to match.
The real question is, because it's a major business undertaking, there's a statutory requirement that we don't undercut our competitors, right? Is what we were all, I thought we were told before. So I get the point about the competition, but how does this meet our statutory obligation under it being a major business undertaking?
And we would need to take some legal advice on that with regards to what extent it would. If it does, can we take that on notice?
Yeah, Councillor Fleeton has a question. Councillor Bevan, I believe, has a question. Just before the next round of questions, if in some way it's not clear what the intent is, the intent here is to help our business owners and operators. It is also to help our visitors. We want them to come into the city. We want our city to be activated. And so what we are proposing, with no increase to parking-related fees and charges, is to help them as much as we possibly can. Like we did in our first or second week of gathering as a new council, when we proposed 3 hours of free parking on weekends in our car parks to try and help to activate our city during that busy December and January period. That's the intent of it, in case that is not clear. Councillor Fleeton first, then Councillor Bevan.
It would seem to me that we're not changing our prices, we're holding our prices. The people changing their prices are the private people. So we're not doing anything wrong. If anything, they're putting their prices up, and there's no need for us to follow them.
Thank you, Councillor Bevan. Councillor Fleeton?
Am I Councillor Bevan now? Or?
I think, to be fair, there's...
And that wasn't a question, that was a debate. Look, just to clarify this, your amendment here is saying no increase in parking fees, which I agree with everything you've just said, but the problem with the technology that we've got and the way that it's worded, in this document, fire station is now $3.50 an hour. Your flat rate is $10 an hour. That's a higher charge if you look at the unit price. So I don't understand what the impact is on Fire Station now. I'm confused by the last 25 minutes.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton.
I'm going to hand over to the Project Director Strategic Finance to explain.
I'll have a go from the finance perspective, and then perhaps the GM of Infrastructure and Operations can add value to that. So the general principle, as I understand this, is around modifying the operating model. So the operating model for the car park at the moment is that it is priced in a way that encourages people to park there all day, which doesn't allow churn of vehicles within the parking bays. So the concept was to move it away from an all-day charge to an hourly rate in the hope of encouraging that turn. That's as I understand the model from a financial perspective, but if the GM Infrastructure and Operations can add greater clarity, I'm happy to hand over to him.
Thanks, Project Director. GM?
Thanks, Lord Mayor. $10 for a day's parking, that's how the outworks at the fire station car park at the moment. So it's not $10 an hour, it's $10 for the entire day. So what we're wanting to do is move to an hourly charge to allow for the turnover parking base.
But with this, you're keeping it $10 a day?
No, I didn't.
Well, then that is increasing the cost of parking in that.
Well, I think it's changing the model, but if that's how you want to look at it. So the model for that car park is at minute flat rate. We're shifting it back to what it was pre-COVID, which is an hourly rate. But the fee isn't increasing. So, again, it's a subtlety, but it's the fees and charges not increasing versus the model, of which is how you decide you're going to charge out that car park. Because that particular car park, and I wasn't part of the administration when it was done, but there was a decision taken during COVID or post-COVID, I think I'd have to take this on notice for specifics, that the way the car park operated was changed to accommodate COVID.
I'll just quickly speak for it. Mm-hmm. So supporting the motion, but there are going to be so many instances where if you break it down to the unit, that's more expensive for people in that. So the people parking in Fire Station now, after this change, they'll pay more. So I don't understand that.
So the under the model, let me try this on. Under the model of a flat fee for a day, that means people were parking there for the entire day and paying the flat fee. If we move to the hourly model, idea or initiative there is that people are coming and going into our city. And isn't that what we're hoping to achieve? By activating our city, we want more people coming and more people and more people. They might come in the morning, come at lunchtime, a different crew come in the afternoon. That's what we're hoping to achieve, I guess, with that car park. Yep.
Can you park for the same period of time?
Mm.
Currently
under construction. The other thing I'd note about that car park is I'm led to believe it is a currently underperforming car park. Councillor Gordon.
Question. Agree with the intent of the amendment. I can only find two line items where we're actually proposing to increase the rate, being Goderick Street and Mounts Bay Road. And in light of the fact that there was an intention behind changing the rules for the fire station, was there a reason why we specifically have Goderick Street and Mounts Bay Road increasing?
So, yeah.
And am I missing something? Are there more? Because they all look like they're all going down.
To the GM.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'm not across that specific detail of exactly those streets. I know there are three hourly charges, and it was to bring, I think it was $4.10, $4.50, and $3.50, and it was to bring them, and $5, sorry. So it was $4.10, $4.50, and $5, and it was to bring it all in line at $4.50. I don't know why in the fees and charges it calls out just those two line items.
Bless you.
Thank you, through the Chair. With the benefit of the GM's explanation there, I believe this now actually relates to the discussion that Council had at an engagement session, which was around, ironically, trying to simplify the parking regime So instead of having $4.10 an hour, $4.30, $4.50, whatever, it was to standardise. And in that discussion, it was pointed out some would go up and some would go down. There may be more than the couple of lines identified so far by Councillor Gordon, but it's, I've got to be honest, it's a very difficult thing to do on the fly and identify how many there is.
Deputy Lord Mayor?
Am I allowed to speak?
You can pass on some information if that's what you're going to do.
So based on my the schedule, yeah, that was Mounts Bay Road, which Councillor Gordon's already mentioned. She said Godrich Street, and then there was only one other, which must have been the fire station. So Hay Street East, which must be the fire station.
Okay, right. Is there anybody else that would like to speak?
No.
Okay, let's put the amendment to the vote, please. All those in favour?
Oh, my God, in favour.
Okay, Councillor Bain, Councillor Bevan, Lord Mayor, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Gobbett, Councillor Fleeton. Those against? Councillor Gordon and Councillor Leeser. So we'll declare the amendment passed 6-2. Let's return to the primary. The Deputy Lord Mayor moved the primary. Councillor Gobbett was the seconder. DLM.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. The city's annual budget's been developed with input from the council over the past 5 months and also the neighbourhood groups for the first time, thanks to a notice of motion from Councillor Gobbett. And one of the key aims of this budget was to deliver 0% rates increase for our ratepayers, which we're pleased to deliver, achieved through a year-on-year reduction in operating costs of $3.5 million. Budget reform has been an area of particular interest to me over the past month, so I'm pleased to see a number of improvements to date, particularly in the elimination of costly city-led activations that were ineffectual in past years in driving visitation or establishing our identity. I'm excited to see instead we're shifting the focus to supporting others to help bring our city to life. With the review of the city's property portfolio underway, thanks to a notice of motion from Councillor Fleeton and the review of other city operating businesses in coming months, I look forward to further opportunities for budget reform and savings next year. It's also good to see this annual budget makes a substantial financial commitment to renewal of community infrastructure. Along with this financial commitment, it's great to see an operational commitment to ensure asset renewal, given the city's legacy of not completing its annual capital program. And just this afternoon, we were shown new technology to track this, which is great to see. That's it.
Thank you, DLM. Councillor Gobbett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. An exciting time for the city. This, I feel, is the first budget that we can really hold the administration to account to deliver. There's a number of projects across roads, drainage, parks, things that matter to community that are out there on the ground, and I look forward to this expenditure being committed and on the ground where people can enjoy. I think one of the important things that had been highlighted through the week from last council meeting was the inclusion of the aquatic facility business case and the inclusion of the first round of capital funding to see that happen in our city. So there's a lot of commitments to city building projects in this budget, and I want to congratulate the city's staff, particularly Mr. Kent and Mr. Mason and their respective teams, and as well to the CEO for her leadership in pulling this together. It's across the new themes that we've adopted as a council, being sustainability and livable and prosperous. So I think pulling all of these projects together under those banners is something that we should all be quite proud of and a momentous occasion for our city. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Gobbett. Does anybody wish to speak against the motion? Anyone else for the motion? Councillor Fleeton.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I'll hurry through this, but just starting with Mr. Kent, thank you very much for putting up with me over the last few months as we got this together. To the entire leadership team, the CEO and councillors, I know you roll your eyes when I get firing, but it is important. I am excited to vote for my first budget in local government. I'm used to voting against them. And it's equally bizarre that a local government keeps their income at the same levels for 2 years in a row, and I know how much strain that causes. I'm very confident that after 9 months of working together, we all understand the context that we're in right now. Lockdowns can happen at any moment, and other than the City of Perth, there's really no other council council in WA that is as impacted. Want to quickly touch on our employees. I understand you're going through a negotiation at the moment for your agreements. It's an important part of the year to speak about employees as the single largest cost in each budget, but you do, on the whole, a fantastic job. And we need to remember, day-to-day, week-to-week, when we're talking about important things in the media, that we also, day-to-day and week-to-week, get the basics done, like my favourite bridge in Claysbrook, ranger security, mowing lawns and taking care of our parks and gardens. I also want to take time to quickly go through where money is currently coming in and where we need to highlight some red flags as a group over the next few years and the next council as well. So $76 million is coming in from commercial, office, retail and hotel, which is roughly the equivalent of how much our employee costs are. As the Lord Mayor rightfully pointed out, we've got some challenges relating to COVID, but we've got other challenges as well. When the next valuation is conducted, we're going to have a big decision on our hands to either keep the rate and the dollar the same or change it to offset. I want to talk about, as a group, every week we are lobbed with so many different requests and have this expectation in the community that we can pull a lever and immediately fix all of our problems. It's obviously not the case, and it's so important that we do a good job in this building because we don't have a level of government to push down on. But that's exactly what the state government is doing to us right now on a number of fronts, and I fear it's going to get worse. The law and order issue is rightfully front and centre, but too many people look to us, the Lord Mayor and the city. We don't have a single power. It was taken off us by WA Police. This budget passes around $7 million a year on security patrols and City Watch. They are nothing more than high-vis vests and eyes on the street. It's the police's job to control law and order in this city, just as it is for any other local government. Looking also at parking, where we're bringing in $70 million in revenue, obviously there's a lot of expenses there. I fear the state government will be taking a few car parks off us, which will drastically reduce our revenue. Thanks to the city for getting the business plan in order. It was a huge issue from the inquiry. How previous people sitting around this table didn't have that sorted before is beyond me. Residential, $20 million, and it's important to understand in the scheme of things where income comes from. A lot of that money is taken from our business community and our landlords and put towards residents. It takes a lot of money to keep the city looking as good as it does. Thank you to Michael for including the Neighbourhood Initiatives Reserve. I think it's a strong message that we take very seriously, keeping a premium on how our neighbourhoods look. And just one final comment, looking at the property review, I'm very excited about what that's going to be able to present. We do need to have a plan over the next 3 to 4 years where we could realistically bring in through some clever ways, and I'm not talking about sales, I'm talking about leasing. There's a lot of money out there chasing a home, so if we can target, say, $20 to $25 million a year through a new revenue stream, I think that's easing the burden on a lot of taxpayers.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Does anybody else wish to speak for the primary motion? I'll take the opportunity to say that, in my view, this is a budget which is right for this time. It's measured, it's responsible, it balances our community needs and it manages costs and debt. And it's a financial blueprint for this city which will assist us further on our journey of change. For me, highlights of the 21-22 budget include 0% rate increase, $3.5 million operational savings, and the $261.7 million total budget, $23 million in major projects, $13.9 million for the Rowe Street enhancement, $11.1 million for marketing activations and events for our city, $6.5 million improving street lighting in our CBD and neighbourhoods, $5.4 million for roads, paths and curb renewals. I'm very proud of this line and I believe we all should be. $1.5 million towards a solution for our homeless community in the city of Perth and $1.4 million for parks and landscapes. I'd like to thank the administration led by CEO Michelle Reynolds for her leadership and for the team in helping us achieve these highlights. Our first budget, one that I am proud of and one that I believe we should all be very proud to put our names to.
Would anybody else like to speak for or against the motion? Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Thank you for summing up all the initiatives. Just one thing to add to that list that you put together is I was pleased to see the Evan Forest for the next year has $494,000 allocated towards it for tree planting in our CBD, which is another great initiative to highlight. And so that's it for me.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. So we'll put it to a vote now. All those in favour? And we can declare that carried unanimously around the room. Thank you, everybody. So 6.2 is the City of Perth Draft Local Planning Strategy. And am I going to refer to... Okay. So, Councillor Fleeton has two direct financial...
Impartiality.
And the rest from the CEO, is that correct?
Sorry.
CEO.
I think if I might suggest that's two impartiality interests from Councillor Fleeton.
Impartiality.
Councillor
yes.
Has already declared an interest and will be leaving the room, and now I have a very long list, so bear with me as I read quickly through. The following elected members have declared interest in item 6.2, Lord Mayor, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillors Bevan, Gobbett, Gordon and Lisa. In accordance with Section 5.69 of the Local Government Act, conditional approval has been granted by the delegate of the Minister for Local Government for these elected members to fully participate in discussions and decision-making procedures relating to item 6.2, City of Perth Draft Local Planning Strategy. The approval states, and I'm reading this from a correspondence, I refer to correspondence dated 9 July and advise that in accordance with authority delegated by the Minister for Local Government, I have approved your application under Section 5.693 of the Local Government Act. This approval allows Lord Mayor Basil Zemplis, Deputy Lord Mayor Sandy Angie, Councillor Clyde Bevan, Councillor Liam Gobbett, Councillor Rebecca Gordon and Councillor Catherine Leeser to fully participate in the discussion and decision-making relating to the following item at the City's Special Council meeting to be held on 13 July. 6.2, City of Perth Draft Local Planning Strategy, subject to the following conditions. The approval is only valid for the 13th of July 2021 Special Council meeting when Agenda Item 6.2 is considered. The above-mentioned councillors must declare the nature and extent of their interest at the above-mentioned meeting when the matter is considered, together with the approval provided. The CEO is to provide a copy of the Department's letter of approval to the above-mentioned councillors. The CEO is to ensure that the declarations, including the approval given and conditions imposed, are recorded in the minutes of the above-mentioned meeting when the item is considered. The CEO is to provide a copy of the confirmed minutes of the above-mentioned meeting to the Department to allow the Department to verify compliance with the conditions of this approval, and the approval granted is based solely on the interest disclosed by the above-mentioned councillors made in accordance with the application. Should other interests be identified, these interests will not be included in this approval and the financial interest provisions of the Act will apply. That's my script. And is there something I'm missing?
Each elected member then needs to point two. Each council must decide on each member.
So do I invite the councillors to...
Is that this one?
I'm now inviting each of the elected members to outline their declaration. Is there, it's been suggested there might be something on your desks that will assist with this. Can I invite you all to do so, commencing with Councillor Bevan?
Yes, I can see if
you participate in discussion and decision making relating to this item as read aloud by the CEO.
Yes, you have to read out what's in the form.
Councillor Bevan, yeah, the form is a disclosure of interest.
My disclosure of interest, I have a lease on 200 St George's Terrace and I own 380 Murray Street, 2616 apartment.
Councillor Gordon.
I've declared a direct financial interest, which was a difficult one because this draft local planning strategy doesn't actually propose any changes to my property, but by way of changes to surrounding properties, there may be some unforeseen benefit that flows to me, and I have can confirm I have received approval to fully participate in the discussion and decision-making relating to this item as read aloud by the CEO.
Thanks, Councillor Corden. Councillor Leeser.
Thank you, CEO. And Lord Mayor, I'm disclosing a direct financial interest as the joint owner of a residential property on St George's Terrace. I can confirm I have received approval to fully participate in the discussion and decision-making relating to this item as read aloud by the CEO.
Thanks, Councillor Leeser. Councillor Fleeton?
I've declared an impartial interest. I live at a property that's not impacted by the change and a donor who's at on the point there's no change at all. So it's impartial. You went and chased an approval that you did admitted that you...
Thank you, Councillor Fleetwood. Well, that's Councillor Gordon's prerogative. Councillor Gobbett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I've declared a direct financial interest as I have a lease over the premises at 2338 42 Waterloo Crescent in East Perth, and also an additional direct financial interest as I have a lease over the premises at 2445 Adelaide Terrace, East Perth. I can confirm I have received approval to fully participate in the discussion and decision-making relating to this item as read aloud by the CEO.
Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I have a direct financial interest as the owner of Office 3 at 1329 Hay Street in West Perth, and also a proximity interest in relation to an apartment number 6 that I own at 35 the Esplanade, Netherlands, and also a proximity interest arising due to an interest via a trust that I have in Steve's Netherlands, 30 the Avenue in Netherlands. I can confirm that I've received approval to fully participate in the discussion and decision-making in relating to this item as read aloud by the CEO.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. And for me, a direct financial interest. I am the owner of a property at number 3, 47 Mount Street in West Perth, and have joint ownership of Unit 11, number 9, Shenton Street in Northbridge. And I can confirm I have received approval to fully participate in the discussion and decision-making relating to this item as read aloud by the CEO. So, that has all been done now, correct? Where are we at now? So, do we have a mover for this item?
Happy to move.
Yes, Councillor Fleeton, seconder, please. Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Councillor Fleeton.
Thank you. Thanks to the CEO and the team, Megan and Robert and Samantha, who I think is in the crowd. Thank you for your efforts in getting this done so quickly. I know you had a lot of feedback to incorporate. It's been 4 years. I'm sure it's been even longer for you. I've got a couple of concerns that remain but aren't worth holding up. Looking forward to seeing how quickly the WAPC can get this out there for public consultation, and I'll be very keen to understand how we're going to facilitate that and feed it back to us. I'm not too sure after Councillor Gobbett's spoken as a seconder if possibly the Director can speak or the GM can speak on what the WAPC's latest update has been with this, please.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Councillor Gobbett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just want to congratulate the staff again. Years in the making, but necessary to have the foresight to develop a vision for how we foresee the city growing and developing in our immediate history. So happy to endorse this going out to the WAPC, and look forward to it being speedily endorsed, although I wonder what that time period is going to be like. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Editorial comment at the end. I like it. Councillor Fleeton, did you have a question? You were seeking some clarification from the General Manager. Through you, CEO.
Thank you. Yes, I have spoken directly with the chairman of the commission on this matter, who's been watching and waiting for it to come in. The latest information is that it will take around 3 months the workload within the department is at that point. We will be working closely with both the chairman and the manager of this area to keep pushing this through as expeditiously as we can.
Thank you. Councillor Roberts, do you have a question?
Brief question, yeah. What sort of representative committees do any elected members or the staff sit on? Maybe the Central City Redevelopment Committee, or the Central City Committee, or the Capital City Committee. Do we have any ability to push it at a higher level if we need to, if we're not getting any love for it at a department level?
See ya.
I think elected members and the Lord Mayor have through ministerial level, although because this is statutory and goes to the Planning Commission, I would imagine there are some limits as to the sort of influence that can be brought to bear, but of course we will keep in regular contact with the department and with the commission as well, and anything that they need to assist move this along will be a priority for us.
Thanks, Councillor Gobbin. Anybody else wish to speak for the motion? Councillor Leeser?
I had a question following on from my previously submitted questions. Thank you, Lord Mayor. In the work, we're referring to a pre-COVID floor space estimate of commercial needs from 2019. So my question is, I had an answer here, but my real question is, if we get some updated figures, are we able to incorporate that in future iterations of this work, or is it set as it is now?
Thanks, Councillor Leeser. And see ya.
And if I can ask the General Manager of Planning and Economic Development.
Thank you, through the Chair. These, as we've outlined previously, the data that is provided in the document at the moment is what we have on hand. It is future-looking, so the predictions that we've got in there are reflecting a pre-COVID amount, which we believe is, whilst a little optimistic, is achievable over the longer term. Yes, if additional data comes to play, it doesn't fetter anything within the council's decision making to make alterations. This is a document that will be reviewed from time to time.
Thank you, GM. Councillor Leeser? Okay. Anyone wish to speak against? Anyone else for? Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. The City's draft local planning strategy recognises the City's dual role as both the capital and the local government authority for residents and business owners, with both citywide and neighbourhood level priorities and actions. In relation to the neighbourhood level strategies and actions in the document, I think it's important to remember that events are just one part of bringing our city to life. Studies over many years have shown that an increased inner city population is the key to a more vibrant city, and residents are the ones who will bring life to our city 24/7. But targets and quotas for inner city housing aren't enough. Currently, it's not a supply issue, but a demand issue. We need people to want to live in our city. Great cities of the world are defined not only by world-class events and cultural institutions, but also by thriving inner city neighbourhoods. So I look forward to the progression of this document and the implementation of the strategies to enhance our city neighbourhoods, each with their unique sense of place, to attract more people to live in our city and in turn lead to a more vibrant place for visitors and residents alike.
Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. Anyone else? Oh, such great cooperation.
Just a question to the GM, if I can. So you've obviously worked very closely with WAPC to say 3 months, which I think is extraordinary, and I hope it's true. But the question is, in everything that they've said about the plan and where our shortcomings are in planning, what do you think are two or three red flags that they might raise with us or to act upon immediately after this is adopted?
It's through you, Sia, to the chair.
Yes, please.
Thank you. We haven't been given any indication in that regard at this point in time. The manager and the team that deals with these documents at the department have been in the loop with us. We've been meeting with them regularly. They are relatively comfortable. They are also rather conservative in saying that they won't make a formal comment on any of the content until they do a full assessment. So they reserve their rights.
Thank you. Councillor Leeser.
Lord Mayor, as I'm speaking for, but I wanted to make two comments first. I actually think I understand why we've got this planning document before us. I don't think it's aspirational enough. And also, it's disappointing to note how little control the city has over most of what we all think is the city of Perth. Yeah. However, because I want to progress this and it's been such a long time, I think we should get it out to WAPC, so I'm happy to support it.
Thanks, Councillor. Those are points well made. Are there any other commentary for or against? Anybody else wish to speak? Yeah, the original mover was Councillor Fleeton. Councillor Fleeton, anything from you? Let's put that to a vote then. All those in favour, and we can declare that carried unanimously. We can bring Councillor Bain back in. Oh, here's one we prepared earlier. Hello, Councillor Bain.
That's it?
Okay, there being no further business, I will now declare the special council meeting closed at 4:58 p.m. Thanks, everybody.
Could you all rise for the exit of the Lord Mayor?
Sounds so dramatic. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, everyone. We finished very early. The meal is on the 11th floor. I'll just check what time it will be. Is it ready? Okay, so maybe we might like to retire to the lounge. Yes, in the lounge. So maybe we'll have a bubble.